Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. It's the 1st of November, 2024. The 1st of November. And there is the hint of blue sky, the hint of the sunshine coming through, which is rather nice. So who knows what the day will bring. I have two interesting interviews to do this afternoon, and probably some writing this morning, which will be good. So another day dawns and here we go. So how are you? Well, yesterday was Halloween. I had an interview. I was asked to go out somewhere in the evening to meet some people and have a chat in a pub, which was not really sensible to drive there. I mean, you could drive there, but it was silly. But you could walk there. But it was a bit of a walk. But either way, it was Halloween last night. And I thought, oh. Anyway, I had an interview with the lovely Clive DeCarl, who interviewed me. But timings got put back. So in the end, it's, you know, we'd... Achoo! Excuse me. Have I got a hanky? No, I need to find a hanky because I am now sneezing this morning, as one does. So yes, the timing got put back, and so in the end I couldn't have gone to meet these people anyway because I was being interviewed and that was a prior engagement in the Dear Diary. Dear Diary. So I didn't have to worry too much about having to say I can't go. Not that I didn't necessarily want to see them. I thought it was good, but on Halloween night, it's just...
Didn't fancy the trek through town, did you?
Didn't fancy the trek through town. You never quite know what people are up to, and they, you know, get a bit silly, don't they, with fueled by alcohol and things. And it's dark.
Not without your Rottweiler.
Not without the lovely Julia at my side to protect me. So... Excuse me, blowing my hooter there. Found a nice clean pair of... Not underpants. A nice clean pair. That's not even a pair, is it? A nice clean hanky. That's...
I give up trying to guess what I do.
I know. I don't blame you. feel like I've got a sort of deeper resonance today in my voice. It's a bit gravelly today. I'm not quite sure why. We did have some brandy yesterday.
Well, you did. I had a sip and taste. And then I had Arches and lemonade.
Yes, it was, you know, Halloween. We were celebrating in our own way. We had a beautiful steak that Julia very kindly brought over. We cooked that and we had a good chat. What else did we do? We didn't do very much, really. We didn't do any reading and we didn't do any old film watching.
No.
I think it was just a longer time. Yes, because we were put back on our time and lit the fire, so the fire took some time.
We did watch a few pipe smoking, smoker videos.
Yes, that's very true.
I listened to them.
Yes, there was there's a pipe maker. It is a British chap in France, very much in facial features in a way, a bit like my son Billy. There were just elements that reminded me of him, and he's got a beard and various things, which Billy... I don't think Billy has that big, long beard anymore, does he?
No, he has a beard, but it's trimmed. It's
trimmed, yeah.
Check.
Anyway, this chap makes pipes, and they are beautiful pipes. €200 euros, about £168 we worked out. Some of them are a bit cheaper. I imagine he's got slightly cheaper ones if he's got seconds and things like that, but some of his top-class ones, very expensive. But it's... You know, handmade by an individual with his own unique style. So I think that's a good price, actually. I think that is a good price. You wouldn't, you know, it's not like you're going to buy hundreds of them, are you? You may only have one by that particular pipe maker and it would be a treasured item. Anyway, he's on YouTube and he has a video and he sits in his little, very dark little... workshop, I suppose, and he was demonstrating these, or at least not demonstrating as in smoking them, but he did have one on the go, one of his very first, which he couldn't sell, but he had made, and it was a bit of a reject, but he said, oh, it smokes really well. So I thought that was lovely, and we were sitting there watching a few of these, both Julia and I, mesmerised by these incredible, beautiful pipes. And it's so encouraging, I think, that the old pipe smoking, what would you call it? I don't think of it as a hobby, but it's a
habit,
way of life, understanding, is going on. And that there are young people who are making a living making pipes full time. I think that's it's artisan work, and I think that's so encouraging. So we need more of that, not more pipes makers as per se, but more artisans, more small businesses coming from the ashes. And I think that's what we will see, actually, because the old days of big corporations, I think they got too big for their pants and everything's too bland. And slowly, over the next, say, 50 years, I think that a reverse will happen, that people will actually start to say, do you know what? I don't like the bland, naff, mass-produced products, AI-assisted products. I want something more individual and more artisan. The English Year, compiled by Geoffrey Grigson. I was chatting to Sean James Cameron yesterday, and he said, what are you going to do when you come to the end of the year? You'll need to find another book that has a whole bunch of people who have talked about their day. And there must be others. If anybody knows of another book that is similar, with little excerpts from their diary for each day of the week, would be great. Would be great to keep that going. Anyway, today is the 1st of November. James Smetham, in 1873 in Middlesex, says, wind chill as a snow wind, yet fresh, light gairy roads, damp, and with a spotted plage of decaying leaves in the mud. The pebbles washed clean on the watershed of the roads, the sand washed from them, lying in the valleys by the curbstone. Yeah, some of these writers are a little strange, but that was 1873. Now, actually, that's quite interesting, because Geoffrey Grigson usually puts the earlier entry before the second one, if there are more than one entries. And I notice here he has reversed them round on this occasion. So he has got Gilbert White after, on the same day. Now, normally, you can, you know, you look at it and you go, oh, that's 100 years later. What's happened? Or it's 50 years or whatever. But so that James Smetham was 1873 in Middlesex. This is Gilbert White back in 1787. So almost just over 100 years before. He says the North Aurora made a particular appearance, forming itself into a broad, red, fiery belt, which extended from the east to the west across the Welkin. But the moon, rising at about 10 o'clock, in unclouded majesty, and on the east, put an end to this grand but awful, as in awful, not awful, meteorous phenomena. So there we are. That's that. And I'm still bunged up today. They must have been spraying over the last couple of days. Yes, brandy was very nice, and presumably goes well with pipe smoking. A little snort of that. Quite expensive, though. This was a sweetened brandy, American sweetened brandy. I got it from the corner shop. I'm not one of those people that have spirits, as in alcoholic spirits, in the house. And I've been watching some of these snippets of old 60s programmes. And it's interesting when you see or films, and you know, people come back from work, didn't they? There was always portrayed, they'd come back in or come into a, would like a drink, yeah, dry sherry, is it? Yeah. Or would you like a whiskey? Yes, thank you. They would all have these things. Now, I assume that must have gone on. I don't know whether that still goes on. I mean, I remember as a child, everybody was drinking gin and tonic. Gins are quite nice, but I don't drink any. I mean, I barely drink at all. How are you, Julia? You look like you were in pain then.
My body's all blah. All blah.
Blah.
I feel like I've been dragged around by the Weller gorilla.
Oh, the Weller gorilla.
The Weller gorilla from the Weller adverts, hair care adverts.
No, I don't watch any adverts.
The gorilla would come along and grab the guy's foot out of bed, drag him around all night and through bushes and stuff, and then chuck him back in bed, and he'd wake up and his head would be all like this.
Oh, dragged through the bush.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember those. We were looking up the polo advert.
Oh, yes.
With the whistling tune. Anyway, I can't for these days, I can't whistle. I don't know why it is. I have to whistle backwards, as in inhale. Yeah. I can't seem...
I can't remember.
People like polo. Very gentle, benevolent sort of voiceover. You remember Mr. Softy adverts?
Yeah.
What were they for?
Soft mints.
Oh, soft mints. What was that about?
Soft mints.
Yes, no.
Mr. Softy. That's all I can remember. Oh, I thought I'd remember more of it.
There we go. Marvellous, yes. Anyway, it's funny, isn't it, how something gets into your mind and you... The great thing of the internet, of course, we often say we watch too much of it, whatever it is, but you can consult some of the old memories and things. Now, I had this chap on the show called Crispin who was talking about being the reincarnation of Percy Shelley. Now, whether people believe him or not, it's entirely up to them, of course. I have no way of confirming that, but he came to me and he had this story and I thought it was interesting, so we put it on. And he says his personality was written about in a book called The Last Man by Mary Shelley, the wife of Percy Shelley. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And he said it was about a great plague, a bit like the COVID thing. So I thought I might buy that then. It was only a couple of quid. It's a very long story. It's 500 pages of... well, what was it then? Georgian? When did she write it? 18 something. Maybe it was Victorian. Mary Shelley wrote The Last Man 8 years after Frankenstein on the return to England from Italy after her husband Percy's death. It is the 21st century and England is a republic governed by a ruling elite, one of whom, Adrian, Earl of Windsor, has introduced a Cumbrian boy into the circle. This outsider, Lionel Verney, narrates a tale of complicated tragic love and the gradual extermination of the human race by plague. I mean, I find that most peculiar, don't you? I haven't read this story. So, let me just do that again. It's the 21st century. Well, that's where we are now. So have they got the internet? I mean, you know, have they got news at 10? When did she write this? It doesn't say when she wrote it. 1824. The Last Man. Yes, I may well describe that solitary being's feelings, feeling myself as the last relic of a beloved race, my companions extinct before me, so wrote Mary Shelley in her journal, May 1824. So, look at that, 1824, exactly 200 years ago. And so this was written around that time, exactly 200 years ago. How interesting. But what has she made of the 21st century that she's projected herself into, or her characters? so I don't know. Let's delve into somewhere in the middle. I want to find out. Oh, here we go. I'm just looking for a beginning of a chapter. Chapter 15. Let's just have a quick read, see what it's like. I returned to my family estate in the autumn of the year 2092. Okay, so a little bit further ahead. The WEF had long since rid of man, and AI had taken over everything. People had no notion of being sovereign. No, I've made that up, obviously. She didn't write that. Can you imagine if she had? The globalists were rushing around on space pods. I returned to my family estate in the autumn of the year 2092. My heart had long been with them, and I felt sick with the hope and delight of seeing them again. The district which contained them appeared the abode of every kindly spirit. Happiness, love, and peace walked the forest paths and tempered the atmosphere. After all the agitation and sorrow I had endured in Greece, I sought Windsor, as the storm-driven bird does the nest in which it may fold its wings in tranquillity. How unwise had the wanderers been, who had deserted its shelter, entangled themselves in a web of society, and entered on what men of the world call life, that labyrinth of evil, that scheme of mutual torture. To live, according to this sense of the word, we must not only observe and learn, we must also feel, must not be mere spectators of action. We must act. We must not describe, but be subjects of description. Deep sorrow must have been the intimate of our inmate of our bosoms, fraud. Deep sorrow must have been the inmate of our bosoms. Fraud must have lain in wait for us. The artful must have deceived us. Sickening doubt and false hope must have checkered our ways. Hilarity and joy that lap the soul in ecstasy must have possessed us. Who that knows what life is would pine for this feverish species of existence? I have lived. I have spent days and nights in festivity. I have joined in ambitious hopes and exulted in victory. Now, shut the door on the world and build high the wall that is to separate me from the troubled scene enacted within its precincts. Let us live for each other and for happiness. Let us seek peace in our dear home, near the inland murmur of streams and the gracious waving of trees, the beauteous vesta of earth and sublime pageantry of the skies. The text in this book is very small. Let us leave life that we may live. Right. Did you understand any of that? It's all very whatever. Idris was well content with this resolve of mine. Her native... Idris, is that the name? Her native sprightliness needed no undue excitement, and her placid heart reposed contented on my love, the well-being of her children, and the beauty of the surrounding nature. Her bride and blameless ambition was to create smiles in all around her, and to shed repose on the fragile existence of her brother. In spite of her tender nursing, the health of Adrian perceptibly declined. Walking, riding, the common occupations of life overcame him. He felt no pain, but seemed to tremble for ever on the verge of annihilation. Yet, as he lived for months nearly in the same state, he did not inspire us with any immediate fear, and though he talked of death as an event most familiar to his thoughts, he did not cease to exert himself to render others happy, or to cultivate his own astonishing powers of mind. Well, it's interesting to think that that is supposedly in the 21st century, towards the end of the 21st century. Curious, curious book. Anyway, it was only a couple of quid. I thought I'd buy it and see what what it was about. And it's a classic, clearly. She must have been, when did he say, 8 years after? Apparently she was 19 when she wrote Frankenstein, so therefore she was, what, 28, was she, when she wrote this? Interesting to read that. I'm 61, desperately trying to write a book that will be of interest to anybody other than myself. And it's a struggle. So I'm, these people who can write and have that command of the English language, I have huge admiration for. However, 200 years, people would be reading that with 200 years of 200 years ago's sensibilities and understanding of long passages. That was the style back then. Nowadays, people don't have the patience to read that sort of thing anymore. So it's a different ball game altogether. I think I'm going to make myself a cup of coffee and lubricate my throat a little. I shall upload this. I have a video to make this morning. And thank you very much. My voice does sound like it's an octave lower. I don't know whether you can hear that. Maybe you can't. Funny thing was, I think I said the other day that I've been recording The Naked Englishman for 18 years. You there, Julia? She's gone out to smoke a fag. Yes, I've been recording this for 18 years. Hard to believe. Anyway, Julia and I listened to some of it from 2006 or whenever it was, an early one. And Julia said, "Richard, you sound so young." She's looking at me through the window with a big smile. And she's coming in now.
"You sounded positively childlike compared to your mature, dulcet tones now."
Yes, childlike.
Positively childlike.
Yes.
No. The innocence, the freshness. I don't know.
Yes, how funny is that? Because I don't hear it so much myself, and maybe a little bit. I feel like my voice is really an octave lower now. I don't know what's going on. I'm almost Clive to Carl.
It's that crap in the sky, my love.
Yes.
It's been getting worse and worse this week. I've been sniffling and snuffling, and the kids, the 2 5-year-olds I've had most of the week have been coughing and spluttering.
I have some tea and J's. I'm going to have a little dip of my honey here.
The best honey.
This is the honey that is made by my log man. Would you like a piece?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Let's find you a fresh spoon. It's a bit crystallised.
Well, I like it crystallised, but it's a bit decrystallised at the top.
Yes, I'm not quite sure what's going on. But of course, his bees are only 3 miles away from us.
Very local.
So, not as local as when we are on our land. We keep talking about it.
When we...
Yeah, I know, it is frustrating. But November, I'm taking a break, so, from all of the... And possibly December as well, to the end of the year, from the interviews, because that's the thing that pins me down. It's pinned me down for 2 years, and I keep trying to take this break, and actually, in the end, one just has to put the date in the diary and says, away! Working on the book. Well, that feels much better, actually, having had that, although I'm still deep resonance. So, yes, I'm going to make this coffee, and then I shall upload. Did you have another one? Would you like another one?
Yes, please.
Do you need your
No, I don't have it.
Special drink.
Another one I'd like. These fruity ones in this packet. Cranberry, raspberry, mango and strawberry, blackcurrant and blueberry, or St. Clement's. Oh, I'll go for the orangey one. Murky bouquets. Would you like one of these, or...?
No, I'm going to have a coffee, I think. I had... What did I have? Raspberry and lemon or soy?
I don't know.
I had the same as you.
Oh, did you? Oh, that was
strawberry and lemon.
Yeah, that's nice. Where's the box? Oh, where is the box? No, it's falling.
Anyway, my friends, you probably don't want to hear us just make cups of tea and coffee. I do apologise. Sometimes one can almost forget that the recorder is on. But never quite. So thank you for listening, and I will catch up with you tomorrow.
Back to just me listening.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, poor old Julie has to put up with it all the time.
Poor old Julia. Yeah. Oh, gets to spend time with her loved one.
Yes.
The love of her life. And she can't bear to be without.
She is lovely.
Poor, poor Julia.
Anyway, on that note, toodle pip.
Bye-bye.